It was good. You know, it seems to me, hi, this is Tom's Hot and Cold Saturday Morning. You knew that. Seems to me that if we could have a soundtrack as we go through our daily toils, it would make life a lot easier. And that would be, that would be one, you know, with a little washboard in the background, you know. And I'm not sure if I'm blessed or not, but there's always some stupid song going on in my head. And excuse me. One of the dilemmas is if I have the radio on in the car, sometimes it get some stupid song that I hate. Well, I don't hate it, but I don't like it. I wouldn't listen. I wouldn't be something I would seek out. It just gets stuck up there, man, and it just keeps going. And it go on for a week, 2 weeks. It just all of a sudden kicks in. Is that a sign of something bad? Maybe. Anyway, our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. Man, what a week. I had a project, got a lot of projects, but one that I've kind of been looking forward to, and it was, you know, most projects are just projects. You got to get them done. There might be one part of it that's enjoyable, and the rest of it is just kind of, you got to grind it out to get to the fun part. So one of the things I've been wanting to do is on this house that we're working on, I've got the windows. I haven't done any windows in a week. So we had done 7 windows. I haven't done any more. So the 2 front windows in the house, first floor, I got to do them. In the front of the house are hedges that are 5 feet high. And they're in the way. And it's no great fun squeezing in between the hedges and the outside. So I've had in my head, I'm going to remove the hedges. And I had the way I wanted to do it, which makes for a fun project, for me at least. And that is, you bring the pickup truck over to the house, you put it in 4-wheel drive, you put a rope or a strap around each bush, and you yank that sucker out of the ground, show it who's the boss on this pile of you-know-what. And that's exactly what, and I had like about 10 hedges. Plus, we also had this bush on, it wasn't in front of the house, it was off to the side, but it's in the front, that is a sticker bush. And my wife says it seems to be a place where ticks like to hang out. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's a sticker bush, and that's enough for it to go bye-bye. So that came out of the ground, too. But there was, now you'll find this hard to believe, but there was a disagreement between Pete and I as to how to remove these bushes. Pete wanted to come over with lopping shears, cut the bushes down to ground level, or the hedges, and then dig out the roots. I'm like, Pete, you know, that's like work. And where's the fun in that? There's no fun in that. So he's usually pretty generous in offering to help me. But being as I was not going to do it his way, I was solo on this gig. And I went over with the truck and I yanked those suckers out one by one. And it was pretty simple. The biggest issue was getting rid of them because they're, you know, when you, first of all, the hedges, and they're bushy, you know, I don't know, 3 feet in diameter, whatever the heck they are. And then you got the roots now, but with, you know, out of the ground, they weren't horribly, a couple were kind of weighty, but so I filled up the truck and took them over to, there's no easy place to drop them to be recycled or whatever. So I just brought them over to the back part of our property and dumped them. Picked up a tick in the way because, you know, on the way, because why not? It's springtime in Maine. And went back. I had two loads to get the hedges out. Got the two loads. Go back for the second load. And it was lighter stuff. It wasn't a big one. And one of the hedges got back at me and just scraped the daylights out of my arm. And I commenced to bleed it. Now, I guess I'm not telling any tales out of school. And I've tried not to have to do this, but I'm told I have to take a blood thinner. And what that means is I bleed really well. And I got blood just going down. I mean, it looks like I was attacked with a mace or something. It just was unbelievable. And so anyway, got them all out of the way, except for the sticker bush. Pete's got a theory on how to get rid of the sticker bush. I have a theory, too. I'm going to put on some gloves, pick it up by the roots, and put it in the back of the truck. Pete thinks we should have shovels and pick it up with shovels. And like, I don't know. Maybe I don't think I dropped him when he was little. I'm not sure about that, but I could be mistaken. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. It is 8:14, almost 8:15, which means that's the magic time. And we'll take care of a little bit of business. We'll come back. Lots to talk about. Busy week. Progress on all fronts. Untold complications. Oh, my goodness, it is hot and cold Saturday morning, isn't it? So just tell me this would not make a great theme song for your day. Right now, you're going over to Hannaford. You got this going in your head, huh? I need some provolone, yeah, and a little bit of Land O'Lakes. God, nothing like a good Strauss waltz, is there? No, there's nothing. Phone number 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478. Excuse me, hit the phone. I have to tell you, I don't want to tell you this, but I have to tell you because it's all associated with friends here. Next weekend, the 25th? Yeah, 25th, at the Central Maine Auto Auction is their one of their semi-annual, meaning several times a year they do this, general auction open to the public. Now, they're not selling a couple cars, but not, they don't sell cars to the public, except for a few exceptions. But they do sell farm equipment, industrial equipment like trucks and, you know, a bucket truck. You know, you got to have a bucket truck, man. But what's really important this go-round, next Saturday, And I really don't want to tell you this. Because there's a bunch of stuff that I have wants and needs for. And that is a bunch of building materials from our friends at Hammond Lumber. Well, Hammond Lumber bought out Ware Butler, I don't know, last year. And there's was certain product lines and maybe leftover stuff from Ware Butler that Hammond doesn't fit in with their inventory. And it's all over there. And I want to tell you, I've walked through three times now, trying not to walk around my mouth open, drooling. And I got to go back again because I'm going to make the list. Last time I was there last week, they were putting the labels on. They'll have lot numbers. I need to know what lot numbers I'm interested in. And if there's any final, late entries. But there's stuff. I'm telling you, there is insulation there. So, styrofoam insulation. It's a product line that Hammond doesn't carry, where Butler did. And it's a reasonable bit. So it's worth your time. If I'm going to be there, I'm not sure I'll be there bidding or I'll be bidding online. Please don't bid against me. That's all I ask. I've been nice enough to tell you. I have struggled with this for weeks now because I knew it was coming. But these are friends. I know the folks at the auction. I know the folks at Hammond. I got to be nice. I have to share. Sharing is a good thing. I'm not always going to share with you, but today, this one I am. And it's open next week. You can go anytime during the week, during business hours, I think 8 to 4 at the auction. It's over in Liberty or whatever that industrial park is in Herman. Central Maine Auto Auction. You can look it up. And if you're looking for building materials or farm equipment, most folks who need farm equipment, industrial equipment, know about the place. There's a lot of other stuff. And it is online. You can look it up. If you look up Central Maine Auto Auction, they do have some of the stuff online. They don't have all the building materials online. They told me they were going to. They ain't there yet. So, God, I'm just shooting myself in the foot here. All right, I'm over it. It just took a moment. So what's going on in the project? A lot. A lot is going on in the project. I drywalled everything I was going to do in the kitchen. And there's all these steps. I mean, the kitchen is two rooms that we're combining. And there's a lot to do. So all the outside walls have been covered with 2 inches of foam. There's a bay window in the kitchen that juts out from the outside wall. Where we replaced the windows a couple weeks ago now. And I have not done any additional insulating to the bay window other than I'll be cellulosing it when the time comes. I did pick up the cellulose machine last week to rebuild. But the flat walls that abut the bay window, inside from the bay window, have got 2 inches of foam. And drywall over that. I got that done. I taped it. But, and this may be a little hard to visualize, and we don't have a video of it yet, but we will. Got 2 inches of foam coming up to the bay window, which goes out from the wall. So there's 2 inches of foam that's exposed, and there's drywall over that. And I've got this raw edge of foam that I need to cover. Well, it's not that easy to hide, so been mulling over different options, and I came up with one, and you're going to laugh because, I am a used car dealer, and I don't do this with used cars, but I did it here, and what I did was the exposed foam and drywall, because I had 2 inches of foam just sticking out with, drywall on one side, drywall on the other side. I got the Bondo, and I Bondoed it. to stiffen up the foam so I could also then go over it with joint compound. So, you know, it's not soft and mushy, because if I just went over that with joint compound, I poke my finger through it, it's going to be stupid. And what had been done before for that opening, at some point, somebody took a molding and cut it every random lengths of molding, cut on an angle, and it looked bad. It didn't. It wasn't smooth. So now it'll be smooth, and it looks pretty good. I went over it with joint compound last night. I sanded it last week, and it's going to be very presentable and solid. And all the other joint compounds been sanded as well. I hooked it up to my Harbor Freight dust extractor, and my sander, that is, and very little dust anywhere in the room. And it's almost ready for paint. I've got the paint, so I'll be... Here's the cool part about doing a kitchen. You got kitchen cabinets, wall cabinets, space cabinets. The only part you have to paint is the part in between the two that's exposed, the backsplash. We're not going to put anything on the backsplash at this point. So I've got, a foot and a half or so to paint. We do have some other areas that would do the whole area, but... So I last night was going over stuff, you know, just touching up joint compound because my wife wants to paint, so we're going to paint. But so I did the drywall, did the sanding and several days ago, and I got to a point I thought, you know what? It was evening. I had got my second wind. I said, why don't I start putting down some flooring? And the kitchen, what was the kitchen, had old linoleum on the floor. It's flat, relatively intact. It looked awful, and I started going over it with the we got a vinyl laminate that is a wood grain, and I just started banging that sucker out. Next thing I knew, the kitchen was done. It was like an hour, a couple hundred square feet. It went together very quick, and looks really good. I didn't tell my wife, let her see it the next morning, and next thing I know, she's in there cleaning the new floor. It's my wife. And I'm up to some wall division, so I had to stop. I had to do some cutting with table saw, and I haven't gotten back to it because I will be today, actually. I'll be back in there, and there's certain steps I have to go to. One of which is going to be taking the radiator out that I hooked up. I had moved. I realized I can cut that out now because it's PEX tubing. Take it out of the way, floor over that area, and then I can reinstall the radiator. And after I paint the wall and finish, I couldn't get all the taping done because the radiator is in the way. But we'll be there. And I got to take a break because we're coming right up on 8:30. Lots to go. Not the least of which is kitchen cabinets. Kitchen cabinets are starting to come in, and that's a good sign, I guess.
To the pig pen, hey, stop kiss my sister. I'm gonna tell my pa on you. Hey. Stop talking to Miss Bear. You're teaching her things we don't want her to know. I can see you hiding right behind apple tree. Don't think you can scare me.
Who let the dogs out?
Hoot, 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 hoot.
You know, I don't play this song a lot, but it cracks me up every time I hear it. 8:34, it's hot and cold Saturday morning. We're going to check out Bangor Humane Society with our friend Chelsea this morning. Good morning, Chelsea.
Good morning. I love that song.
That's a great song.
That's
God.
A great song.
I don't listen to it. You know, I don't want to be repetitious with the music I play, especially pet related.
Yeah.
But I could play that every week.
Oh, we might have to do that. Well, talking about dogs, yeah. And we have a wonderful one today.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Hope. Hope is a 10-month-old Labrador Retriever mix, and she's been here for a little bit, surprisingly, because she is so cute. She is a delightful puppy. She's full of life and laughter. Now, you heard that word, puppy. She is still very young and full of playful antics, meaning energetic games, and she's always ready to bring a smile. Now, because she is still a puppy, she's in her developmental phases, so she's still learning. So it's really, really important that she is getting all of that training that she needs so she can kind of continue forward to grow with her family and herself. She loves treats. She does very well and has blossomed with lots of gentle encouragement, positive reinforcement. She's super eager to learn, very, very smart girl, and she is doing amazing. She would love a doggy sibling in the home. It would be great for her to kind of see, you know, how another dog, you know, acts with the training and all of that aspect. She's sure. just a bundle of joy. She's a goofball. She'd love to meet you. We do ask that all humans in the home come in to meet with her, as well as if there is any other dogs, they would come here as well to meet with Hope. But she is just a puppy. So like I said, she is full of life. So just kind of understanding. She might steal your shoe a few times, but encouraging, gentle encouragement, positive reinforcement, and, you know, really investing in that training piece for her.
Okay. So I have an insider question maybe you can answer for me. Last time we spoke, I believe we spoke about Karen.
Yes, Miss Karen.
Now, I'm looking at the website here, and my daughter alerted me when they showed up. There are 2, 4, 6 puppies there as well. Are those all Karen's babies?
No, so they are from a different mama. Miss Karen, her baby has been adopted, so she is still waiting for her forever family. But yeah, we do have quite a few puppies that are from the same litter. As you can go right on the website, you'll see their cute little faces. Yeah, they were from a different mama, so they're adorable and also ready for adoption.
You got a lot of dogs here, and they run the gamut here from we said puppies up to a little bit older dog. I mean, the oldest dog I'm seeing is Rebel, who is a blue tick coonhound, who I'm just loving that face at 6 years old.
Oh, he's so funny. He's a goofball,
man.
Too.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're looking for cats, plenty of cats, and the parakeets are still there, and I'm.
They are.
Oh man, Peanut and Peaches. Oh, 2 of them are gone. Were they?
Yes, 2 have been adopted, and then Peanut and Peaches are looking to go home together.
Wow.
They're a cute little pair.
All right. Well, you open at 1 today.
Yes, that is correct. We'll open from 1 to 6 p.m.
Okay, and weekdays as well.
Yep, Monday through Saturday, 1 to 6 p.m.
Okay. All right.
Perfect.
Chelsea, thank you. Appreciate you taking the time.
Yes.
All right. See you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And our phone number, 1-800-966-1039, text 601-207-4478. Her floor's down. The kitchen, I wanted to get the kitchen done because that's where the cabinets are going. And after a month now of essentially camping out, we kind of would like to have a kitchen. A kitchen sink is my lofty goal. And I have the sink, I have the fixture, I didn't have the cabinets. So I ordered the cabinets, and they're partially, about a third, 40%, 35% of the cabinets are in. The rest will be here next week. And I think we want to do, I have most of the base cabinets, but I'm going to wait because I want to do the wall cabinets first because it's easier to put them up without the base cabinets in the way. But I unpacked everything and just set them in place, and they look good. And we're doing a countertop. I went back and forth with a lot of different ideas of what I wanted to do for countertop, and we've done this before, and it's a budget countertop I'll call it a high-end budget countertop, at least in my from my view. And I've done it on, I think, every kitchen I've done in the past almost 30 years, 20 years, 20 years, 25 years. And that is, I use tile. I use usually granite tile. The last one I did with marble, but we're going back to granite. And no glue joint, just butted right together. And that's going to happen as soon as the cabinets are in place. As soon as the base cabinets are in place, we'll probably use Advantech as the substrate and then glue the tile down. You know, obviously cut the opening for the we've got a surface mount sink that'll go in and get everything hooked up. So that'll be it'll be here before we know it. It's not soon enough to suit either of us, but it's okay. You know, if nothing else, when you do projects like this, you learn patience, especially if you're waiting for building materials. So, so in the process, yesterday I came home from work. It was nice, you know, what a gorgeous day yesterday it was. And I thought, I got to do something. And I'm the kitchen. I could do the kitchen stuff in after dark. It was daylight, and I had pulled all those hedges out of the way, so I replaced the two front windows in the house. And I kind of made a mess. I was trying not to make a mess, but when you take off the trim to do the window, paint and dust just kind of fly. And to me, it's kind of funny. Not the mess so much. I mean, you know, it's a mess. We can clean it up. My wife has a slightly different reaction. She was very, very nice. She did not holler at me for the mess I made. But the thing that I found whimsical is the old windows that were there. One of the windows, it was an old single glazed window with an aluminum storm on the outside, and they're loose. One thing I noticed about a week after we had bought the house, you know, we closed on it, was that one of those front windows had a piece of glass missing, triangular piece, maybe an inch by 2 inches. So I put some masking tape over it. So that looked awful. The windows were filthy. And so I said, let's do the windows. And she didn't say no. And I moved stuff out of the way. I didn't move everything I should have moved out of the way. But we got the windows in. I had Pete come up and help because it just went quicker with two sets of hands. And got those two windows in. And, you know, what a great way to clean windows. Just put new windows in. It was what a striking difference. We put our Matthews Brothers windows. I had them in the living room behind or right up against the wall where they were going. And, you know, just spread them out because we had a lot of windows come in. So I said, let's get those out of the living room. Let's get them up in place. So I did those two yesterday. And what a difference. And outside, yeah, what a difference. Inside, it's spectacular. You can actually see. I mean, we could see before. But now everything's nice and clear. We got these nice new windows that are easy to keep clean. And it worked out well. So, again, our friends from Matthews Brothers and Hammond Lumber came through. And, excuse me, I've got seven more to put in. They just keep multiplying. I thought I had like 14, but I had 16 apparently. I lost count, really. So I went and counted what was left, and there's six more windows. All five downstairs windows, one upstairs window. The upstairs window I can do whenever I want because there's nothing up there. And I've got one, there's one window that's missing a storm. It's got plastic over it, and that's the candidate. That's the one's getting done first. So that'll be someday when I, you know, want to just bang that one out. It'll be kind of fun. And then the other five, I have to wait. because I learned, I guess I can be messy sometimes. But it's, it's okay. I've got them in a safe location. They're out of the way. And so that's fun. The kitchen comes first now. Those windows can wait, except for the one upstairs, which I'll do when I feel like it. So today, as I said, we're going to continue the floor as far as I can. I did, that was last week, I think, Pete and I brought the wood stove into the kitchen to judge how big the hearth should be. Figured that one out. And I had tile left over from the last hearth I did. And so I tiled that one night during the week. And last night, in between doing some taping and stuff, I started putting the wood stove together with the new refractory. And I got a nice big tub of retort cement. I find that kind of therapeutic, working with retort cement. I don't know what it is, but I'm modifying this Yodel stove with refractory, and we'll see how it plays out. In theory, if I'm going to be egotistical about it, it's going to be awesome. In reality, I know. And then over to the fat lady sings, and you put a fire in it, and it actually works. I've been bitten too many times and trying to reinvent the wheel when it comes to wood burning, but we'll see. So we'll keep you posted on that. I hope to have it. If I get the floors done, then I got nothing maybe to do till the cabinets come. So maybe I'll work on the stove. So, but that's and then we also painted the stove, forest green. So it's got wood stove paint and painted the stove forest green, and my wife thought that'd be a good color for the radiator. So the radiators in that room will also be forest green. So it's color coordinated. All the heat sources in the kitchen are color coordinated. And I guess that's a good thing. I'm going to, as I say, we're going to cut out the one radiator that we had hooked up. That's plumb with PEX. And we'll move that out and paint it while it's moved out and put the flooring in. And then that can go back. Anyway, if you remember last week, if you were listening, I'd gotten a phone call at 6:15 here at the radio station from my dear wife that there was water pouring down from the second floor bathroom, and I got Pete to go over and shut the water off. It was leaking from the connection on the bathtub, and I got home and checked it out, and it was the hot water connection, and the faucet for the tub, I put a new faucet on the tub, which is stainless steel. And I wanted a right angle female by PEX connector. And the only ones I could find were swivel connectors that were plastic. And I thought, should I get those? What the heck? Yeah, I've used swivel connectors. I've used plastic swivel connectors without any issues. So I did it. Everything's fine. We tested for leaks, and here we are a month later of daily use. And that loosened up enough to have a pretty good leak. It was a constant drip, and it accumulated in the ceiling and then dripped down. And it fortunately didn't do any damage. And what happened there was interesting. I've run into this before. It's been a while, but you got stainless steel and you got plastic. And it's the hot water. The cold water was fine. Hot water gets hot and cold and hot and cold. And over multiple uses, it loosens up. It loosens that swivel connector. So the simple answer was, okay, stupid Tom, you should have used a brass connector. I couldn't get one. I didn't find one. I should have gone to Webb's. I didn't. I just grabbed what was on the shelf, and it worked. for a month and then leaked. And maybe if I tightened it more, it would have been okay. But at that point, I've been nipped. Those frantic phone calls from your spouse when something is not working right are never good. So I got a brass connectors. I got brass connectors. And I also picked up a short handle crimp tool because it's not a lot of room to work there. And put it back together yesterday, and everything's fine. I got a message. Pete emailed me last night. He says, check the bathtub before you leave. I did. I get up here, and on my phone is a little calendar thing. Says, check bathtub. And I had to respond before it would disappear that I had done it. So anyway, I did check it. I checked it multiple times yesterday and today, and it's not going to leak. The dissimilarity between different kinds of metals is less than plastic. Plastic has a very high coefficient of expansion and contraction, and the hot water is just hot enough to have let it work. Let's see. I got a text message here. It's a meme, I guess you'd call it. Don't fear 8-week remodel. Those 10 months will be the most fulfilling 2 years of your life. Yeah. Yep. It's when the kitchen is done, I can go back and finish all the stuff I didn't finish. Like, I'm looking in the bathroom. There's a couple of spots where I got to touch up paint. There's a couple small pieces, 3-foot piece of baseboard I didn't put in. And there'll be that touch-up stuff. Once that's done, once the kitchen's done, which will be another week and a half, to be optimistic. And really, if the cabinets were here today, it would be a week or less than a week. But the cabinets aren't here. It's going to take a little bit of time to put them in, finish up. But the then I kind of go outside. And there was, we got another text message here. Any suggestions to discourage woodchucks? As I get rid of one, another one shows up. And that's what I was going to talk about next. It's kind of related. I'm leaving the house this morning. It's just about dawn. There's a little bit of light in the sky. And I'm walking around the corner of the front of the house. And I hear the scratching noise. I stop and I go back and I listen and I hear the scratching noise. And I know what it is. It's squirrels. I got squirrels somewhere in the wall of the house. And I know that because I've got a place in the eave where a squirrel can get in. So I got some stuff to try. And I will report back as to how well it works, but I will be using, it's a gallon of essential oils. It's peppermint oil and some other oils. You can use mothballs, but I hate mothballs. Peppermint oil I can deal with. So the whole attic's going to get done. The entryway where the squirrel's coming in is going to get done, and I will be sealing that hole up sooner now. I've been thinking about just hiring out, getting the eaves done, painted, and get the gutters done and have somebody do that, not have me do it, just for a time saver. I think the same deal with woodchucks would work. And this one, what I got was a spray product. They do make it's called pest balls. Amazon sells them, and that'd be the kind of thing that you would put down a woodchuck hole. And it's aromatic oils, probably peppermint oil. I didn't look at it real close, but that seems to be an ideal thing for where you have a hole in the ground with woodchucks. You might try marking your territory by urinating in the area, but yeah. Some people might not want you to do that in the yard. And I think the essential oils going down into the woodchuck hole would be more annoying for them. We had a lot of woodchucks where we used to live, and every so often I'd fill the holes in because they were just a situation where, you know, if you don't see it, you're going to be in the hole, you're going to twist your ankle or fall or whatever. So, hey, we got to take a break. It's 8:55. Pete will be with us hopefully next hour. If not, we have Maria lined up. She's been chomping at the bit to come back on the show, and she keeps offering, if Pete's busy with customers, I'm available. So we'll see how that goes. One of the Gozy siblings will be on in a bit. It is hot and cold, though. It is Saturday morning. It's me. We'll be back in a bit. It is 9:06. It is hot and cold. It is Saturday morning. I'm Tom. Good morning. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line is 601-207-4478. If you'd like to call in this morning or text, you could do that. Let's see. I'm not even going to talk about Oak Island. I'm not going to demean myself to that level. Because it's not worth the that breath. Oh man, I tell you what. I bought a salvage car. It was a 2018 Prius. It got hit in the right front corner. Needed a fender, needed a bumper cover. I think it needed a headlight. I think I had to replace the headlight too. So I won the auction. I got the car. And they brought it pretty quick. But I ordered the fender. And I buy fenders all the time. Car fenders, it's an inexpensive commodity, really. Now, if you're in an accident and you're a little bit, you have some inclination, it's not a big deal to swap out a fender. It just takes some time. You know, so the hands of a human put it together, hands of a human could undo it and put it back together. Now, there's a lot of degrees there of what could be wrong, but simple fender bender, you could do it yourself. And almost be, if you think it's fun, you know, it'll be a fun project. But anyway, I've done enough of them. It's not a big deal. I ordered a fender. Usually I order a fender. It's under $150 sometimes well under that. Obviously, you have to paint it. Although, if the car's black, they come black with black primer. You can get away with that, I guess, if you want to. But I generally have it within the week, usually within days. Sometimes delivery time stuns me. It's so fast. And somehow, I guess Amazon is responsible for this to some degree. I'll order it one day. It's here the next day. Not necessarily a fender, but a headlight or something. It's here in a day. Now, how do you do that? So I ordered this fender. It's $130, I guess, delivered. Fender's a big thing. Comes in a big box, $130 delivered. A lot of times it comes FedEx or UPS or usually doesn't come truck freight. Well, I ordered one from a big company, online at least, and I don't have it. And it's going on 3 weeks now, and it is in a truck terminal in Portland, Maine. And, you know, I was talking about patience last hour. This is where I learn patience from, is occasionally a part gets waylaid by the Postal Service, sometimes other delivery services. This is going on a new record here. And I usually, if somebody really screws up on a delivery, like if I bought something on eBay, and they really messed up, even if they're nasty, and that doesn't happen often, but I will usually be discreet in how I respond. I say, well, you know, I was a little disappointed. It took, you know, whatever. And I've written several emails to the vendor, and I've also corresponded with the trucking company, and I can't believe it. I cannot believe the lack of, well, they do respond, but it's like, come on. It's usually, a lot of times it's 2-3 days and it's here. And this one is going past its third week now. And it's been just stuck down there. It made it to Portland fine. And then it was like, ugh. Got some messages here about dealing with critters. One is from Amazon. I got 7 or 8 pounds of cayenne pepper. For $20 to $25. Down woodchuck holes on plants everywhere. And everybody stayed away, including deer. No damage last year. Another one, I used them all. Peppermint spray works better because I noticed critters cover up those balls you were talking about. I hung them in an onion bag about 2 inches off the ground. The spray soaks in the sawdust is best smelling chicken coop. So I guess it's in chicken coop. That's good to know. It makes sense but I think maybe those balls might work in an attic where, you know, critters aren't burying them. But so peppermint spray. So as I was getting the spray this morning and I saw the number one ingredient, in case you're just tuning in, I was leaving this morning and I heard scratching in the walls of the house outside, and I know it's a squirrel. So I got a peppermint oil spray, and I will be spraying everything. I will be up in the attic spending a lot of time, and we'll see how that works out. I will report back to you. And I know where they're going in, so I'm going to go around the opening too. Give it a little bit of time, then it's going to get sealed off. It's warm enough now. They don't need to be in my attic. They don't need to be in the walls of my house. That's why you make your house tight for energy and also for critters. And I was a little dismayed to hear them this morning, but, you know, it's part of living in anywhere, really. It doesn't have to be. The good news is, I'm 98.9% sure it is squirrels. I've run into this before. and they can be persistent. But I like the idea of peppermint oil. We have used peppermint oil in cars because trying to keep mice out of cars, that's another thing that is very, very common here in the state of Maine. Mice, red squirrels, mice in particular, will get into automobiles. Peppermint oil works great, except you have to keep reapplying it. The only time I've seen that a chemical treatment has persistently worked was in a car that they had treated with mothballs. And you didn't want to be in the car because the mothballs were keeping the critters out, and they do a good job of keeping you out too. They did have mothballs when I was looking this morning, but I'm not going there. Peppermint oil I can deal with. Mothballs will wait. We're going to take a quick break. It's just about 9:15, hot and cold Saturday morning. Pete will be with us shortly. I'm going to double-check, see if he is tied up with a customer or not, but stay with us. We'll be back. Okay, we're back. It's 9:19. I have to comment here. These are high school kids. Man, I tell you what. If we don't do anything else right in life, certainly some music curriculums. You know what? Just to get kids into that. You know, I've one thing I've learned over the years, as a parent, as a semi-responsible adult, it's important to have kids engaged in stuff. I'm not telling you anything new, I'm sure, but you know, if your kids are not into sports, maybe they're into band or something. You got to keep them engaged. And doing stuff other than obviously video games. And I'm very pleased with the fact that the cell phone thing is banned next year in school, because I think that's a critical thing. Oh, anyway, I got to hit the theme music here. This seems appropriate to me. I think this is quite appropriate. But hang on there. Just with those applause, ladies and gentlemen, let's say good morning to Pete. Morning, Pete.
Hi.
Hi. Pete?
Yeah, it's a doe.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
I said doe, like Homer. You ruined it. Everybody listening got it.
All right. Do it again.
But doe.
All right.
No, I just did it a second time.
All right.
I'm not doing it a third time. We're going to have to wait for next week.
All right. We'll do it next week again. We'll do the same song.
This whole thing is ruined.
We've ruined it all. Morning, Pete.
What's going on?
Not much. Just hanging around.
You know what I noticed the other day?
No, what'd you notice?
I noticed that fuel is still $3.99 a gallon.
Yes, it is.
At the gas station down here. You know what I drove around this last week just to try it?
Yeah.
We've got, this is the one, okay? I constantly get people in, they come in their big, beautiful truck, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I need something different to drive around in. I've got a 2017 Prius Prime with 171K on it. You know what that means?
No.
That means you get Prius Prime technology for 171,000 miles price, okay?
Yeah.
171's not that much on a Prius, let alone a Toyota.
Right.
So the Prime, and there's a lot of confusion I run into on this. The Prime is a plug-in hybrid, right?
Right.
So everybody thinks a plug-in hybrid, I got to plug it in all the time for it to work like an electric car. You don't. You can just drive around in it. You know, you don't have to charge it up. But here's the beauty of topping that battery off when you can. You get blended mileage. So when I charge this one up, it shows about a 20-mile range as an electric vehicle, right? So I hop in. The car automatically goes to EV when you start driving. You hit a button, it goes to hybrid if you want a little bit more juice. So it's automatically running as an EV, so your mileage just goes up, 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 up. No matter how much you accelerate, you're going uphill, downhill, whatever, your mileage is just going to keep going up because it's running as an EV. So you get up to, let's say, 85 miles per gallon. I think right now it's showing about 70. Once the battery drops to a certain point, because you've been running it as an electric vehicle, it'll switch over to being a hybrid, and it'll run just like any other Prius does. So that's what you call blended mileage. So now you've got your, let's say, 50 miles per gallon as a hybrid, blended with your 80, 90, 100 miles per gallon as an electric car, and then you wind up with blended mileage of, like, you know, 70-some-odd miles per gallon. That's the one. That's the one. Because, see, here's the thing. As I take cars and I drive them around to Hannaford and so forth, periodically, I seem to wind up getting into them right as they need gas. And then I put gas in them, and then they instantly sell because I put gas in it, right?
But
there goes my gas. It's driving away down the road. So this car is the one because I haven't had to do that. I just top it off, and I run it on your electric bill.
So here's the question, Pete. You don't own a car?
I don't. See, here's the thing.
Whose car are you driving, Pete?
I'm driving a car that belongs to some finance company. That's what I'm driving.
You're driving the car that I pay for. How's that working out for you?
No, hey, I pay for it. You're not even here most of the time anymore. I'm the one smiling and being friendly, all right? I'm the one selling the car. People come here because I'm a swell guy. They like me. They're like, I'm going to go see Pete, see how things are going.
Yeah, that's what it is. Mr. Sunshine. Come visit Mr. Sunshine.
But,
he's there till 3 today.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Prime is my pick for this week.
Okay.
Because I've never really, like, you know, we've had Primes in before, but they're always lower mileage or newer cars, like a 2022 with 60K on it, something like that. This one's a 2017 with 171K. So price reflects that. It's bright. It's that electric Toyota blue that Toyota likes so much.
Yeah,
and it's just a great car. I like it. I'm very impressed. And again, you don't have to plug it in. You can just run it as a regular hybrid if you want to.
Right.
Just hit the HV button when you hop in and go.
Yeah, I like them.
But I'm impressed with that one.
And
as gas is $4 a gallon, I will mention I do have two other Priuses, a hybrid RAV4 and a Corolla, and a regular RAV4. I've got all the fuel efficiency on my lot.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna share something that Pete's gonna cringe about, but I'm gonna say it.
Here we go. Wait. Text me what you're gonna say first.
No. It's coming out of my big yap right now.
Don't say it.
I bought several months ago.
Don't share that.
No,
if it starts with Tom saying I bought, we don't say it.
I'll text.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I just want to tell the story because I think it's kind of funny. I bought a Prius Prime that was a rollover. It was a wreck.
It
dire shape. Did not run. And I got it running. Now,
yay.
I put it, we put it, Peter put it for me on Facebook.
I didn't touch it. You put that up.
All right. It was on Facebook for sale. And I can't tell you how many people looked at that. It says rollover. It is a parts car. Maybe you could make it into something. That's it. We were selling it as is. You tow it off the lot. And people just got in their head. They saw the car. They saw the price, which was pretty low, I think. And get all wound up when they see... It's a parts car. It isn't, you know, it does have a title, but, we had to take it down. Yeah, that's right. It was a repo. We bought it from Carvana. It was a repo.
I'm going to assume the previous owner didn't have insurance.
Yep.
And then they got into an accident and they just stopped paying on it. And it got repoed.
Can you imagine having a car of that value? Which they still would owe on when it gets repoed, roll it over and not carry insurance on it, first of all, excuse me, and then roll it over and you're under so far underwater, you know, you're looking at the Titanic. And anyway, I picked it up because I thought if nothing else, it'd be fun to goof with or I use it for parts. And I said, well, let's, you know, see if we clear out the back lot and just put it up, see what happens. It's hilarious how many people will irate with it. We took it down. I'm going to keep it because I don't want to deal with the ignorance that is on social media because we had it on Facebook Marketplace, which is just a fun place to sell stuff. So that's the story. Pete, you can uncringe your unhunch your shoulders, ungrit your teeth. I was just amazing.
You know, interesting fact that people don't think about with a car when it gets repoed is if you have a car and it gets repoed, let's say you owe $10,000 on that car, and they take the car back. I believe it's by law the lien holder has to auction it, right? So let's say you owe $10,000, they auction it, it sells for $5,000. Technically, you are legally responsible still for that other $5,000.
Yeah.
Now, the nine and a half times out of ten, the bank or whoever, whatever company you finance it through, will they just file for a tax credit or something for the difference. But they can take you to court and get your wages garnished for that difference.
Yeah.
So.
And
the important, I think what happens with a lot of that is I think people use a lot of, I'm not going to name any names on finance companies, but they use finance companies that don't have particularly friendly interest rates. Mm. And what happens is they wind up with a payment that rivals a new car payment on a used car. A used car is like an older cat. You know, you got to put some money and time into it to keep it alive. And as soon as something breaks, they're not able to fix it. They can't afford to. So they're not driving the car then, so they just stop paying for it. Then it gets repoed, and then they get hit harder on their credit. And it's a horrible cycle.
Even if you don't owe money on a car, I think some of the best money you can spend is car insurance. Yeah, I'm here.
Either I can't hear you or you're breaking up.
I'm right here talking to you, Pete. That's your phone, Pete. All right. Tell you what, I'm going to take a break here. We'll see if we can reconnect with Pete. He usually calls on his cell phone. Anyway, we'll be right back. We got five generations of a fiddle playing, and it's mastered here a fiddle by a fiddle playing man. Here's another song for Uncle Bill. Got a prayer written on the road by the light of the moon. Somewhere up in Michigan, thinking about fiddle, and I hope that I can get back up to Colorado soon. Daddy had a fiddle, and later on the sun, saying, son, play the fiddle like your fiddling folks done. Hard to learn to fiddle when you're fiddling on the run. Fiddling is fiddling, fiddling is fun. Here's another song for Uncle Jeff. Got a prayer written on the road by the light of the moon. Thinking about fiddling somewhere up in Michigan. I hope that I can get back up to Colorado soon. back to 936. I believe we have established, we have reestablished communications with Pete. You there, Pete?
What happened there? You got all broken up like it was a cell phone signal or something, but I'm not on a cell phone and neither are you.
No. Well, we do.
Could you hear me?
Yeah. We have an electronic system, okay. So maybe it's just a blip. Hey, before we get into it, I do want to mention next weekend is the general auction at Central Maine Auto Auction, and our friends at Hammond Lumber have a whole bunch of stuff there that I want that you should not buy I'm bidding on it. But other than that, a lot of discontinued inventory that came from their purchase of Ware Butler, a lot of insulation, wood, sheet goods, and it's open for preview all week, Monday through Friday, from 8 to 4. And it's over there.
So what I'm hearing is, what I'm hearing is, if you want to hang out with Tom, that's the place to go, because that's where he's going to be.
Not necessarily. I'm not sure I'm going. It can be pretty packed, and you can bid online. You don't have to necessarily be there. But I would need to confirm that what I want to bid on will be on the online part. I think it's going to be, but I'm going to confirm that, and you should too, just to be safe. But and I haven't looked. They might have a bucket truck, and you know, everybody should have a bucket truck.
There's a estate sale business that I follow online, and they're doing an electric supply house or something, and they had a bucket truck.
Ooh, and you didn't tell me.
I didn't tell you about it. Yeah, because you got enough cars to play. You got enough projects right now. You stop it. You got to finish some of them.
I do. I actually one project that I've been deferring, and I actually started it, and it's actually going good, and I've just been preoccupied after I started it earlier in the week. I've got a RAV4 hybrid that needed roof airbags. I got that car for myself. And roof airbags are just kind of a pain in the butt. And really, to do it and I've done it without doing this, but to do it properly, you got to take the headliner out. And it's not a huge project, but it is. That's kind of annoying. But anyway, we got the headliner out, and then Toyota, God love them, they do so many right things. They have these plastic dew flickers that hold the roof airbag in place, and they are very challenging to get out. And I've gotten them out, and I worked out a routine where here's what I figured out. These plastic dew flickers that are about an inch long, half inch wide, you could bust them.
I found one on the floor the other day.
I did, and buy new ones, and that's what and they're not expensive, and it really, you know, if you're trying to ensure your place in heaven, probably you don't want to be swearing a lot. So I figured at this point, if there's a deity that's going, I have to answer to when I go away. They may only go back 5 years or something. So if the last 5 years of my life are 10 years or whatever it's going to be, if I'm not swearing a lot, that might be a good thing.
Have you been not swearing a lot? Because I haven't picked up a whole heck of a lot of difference
With you, it's a different story.
Yeah.
But you see,
I bring out the best in people.
Yeah, you do. You do. So,
I think the thing is, I think they probably want the thing that holds the airbag in to be pretty secure.
Absolutely.
That's just my opinion. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. And that's fine. But I think they could have done it a little different. How about bolts and washers? It would have been a hell of a lot easier.
That's just what you want, is like one of those to come loose and go shooting through your head after the airbag deploys.
Well, the plastic thing comes out, hits you in the head, you're going to know it too. But maybe it's a cleaner cut. I don't know.
Yeah.
Got a text message here. Have you had to do any high voltage battery work on your Prius daily driver with only almost 500K? Yes, I've been into it three times. I think I've replaced maybe five or six cells. I haven't touched it in
a while.
Almost 3 years. and it's not showing any signs of any problems either. Every so often I'll...
Batteries like to run. They like to charge and discharge.
Yeah. And, there were a couple of, there were 5 or 6 week cells that just kind of aged out, and those got replaced, and it's been okay. So, it's going to happen. The nickel metal hydride batteries, which, my car's a 2007, that generation car, they did tend to age out. And they are less expensive now than they were, say 20 years ago. They are rebuildable as well, which is even less expensive than replacing the whole pack. And I was going to replace the pack with a either a lithium pack or a sodium pack, but decided, it ain't broken. I ain't going to fix it. I'm just going to let it be. If I needed to do it, I could replace the pack, but it's kind of appropriate to have the car with all as much original stuff as possible. And really,
from what I've seen,
I
was just going to say, from what I've seen, a lot of people's concern still to date is people get concerned that haven't owned a hybrid before is about the battery. And I would say 10 times out of 10, the battery outlasts the rest of the car. If you don't take care of your undercoating and get it undercoated and stripped and re-undercoated annually, then the battery will last till who knows how long.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I can't tell you how many people will call me and say, I've got a car that's, they didn't take care of the metal and the car still runs great, and they want to know if I want the battery. And the answer is no, because I've got a half dozen of them in the shop. But
yeah. Yeah. They... And I think the lithium batteries that they're using now are even more long lived. I know they are more long lived and more stable than the nickel metal hydride batteries were. They're all available, and they're all affordable. I think, if so many other things can be really expensive, the batteries in Toyota hybrids, not from the dealer. Okay, let's qualify that. We had a customer, well, not a customer, but an acquaintance. He didn't buy it from us, but he bought a 2020 for his son. He was going to school down in Massachusetts, and his son was driving the car, and the check hybrid system light came on. He took it to a dealer, not in Maine, down in Massachusetts, and the dealer said, "You need a battery. Hybrid battery, it's $15,000. Now, at that point, he should have run as fast as he could. But what he wound up doing was the insurance company totaled out the car. Not sure how that works, but they did. And he got his money out of the car and I'm sure replaced it. Here's the thing, though. What had happened to the battery... and this happens more than often than not, is a mouse got into the hybrid battery and probably urinated somewhere. Didn't cause a catastrophe, but at that point, the car's electronics measured a leak from the high voltage system to the chassis of the car. It was still inherently safe, but it was there. And they found the mouse nest. They showed, he sent me a picture of the mouse nest. So I looked up the battery, and there were three levels of expense associated with this in my purview, or four, I guess. $15,000 from the dealer, which is obscene and should be, it's just stupid. Looking online, probably a new pack, brand new pack from the dealer. If you just went and said, I want to buy a pack, is probably $5,000. I suspect it's less. I know. I've never done one of these packs because they're that good. It's probably an hour, maybe 2 hours if you've never done one before to replace it. That's not $10,000 worth of labor, by the way. The other option would be to replace the pack with a used pack, which was $300 to $600. Or you could do what Tom Gosey would do first, is get the vacuum out, vacuum the mouse nest, and let it dry. This was not in the battery. It was on the battery. And it probably was going to be okay. And that's the voice of experience. That's not. I'm not trying to, you know, pull the rug out from somebody. I'm a used car dealer. I'm going to take advantage of the situation. This is the reality that it, if it happens, and it could be from rain leaking. It doesn't have to be from a mouse. If something like that happens, you get it's essentially a ground fault. And it's not acceptable, but it's not terminal. And it certainly is not $15,000 worth of repair. And, you know, the customer didn't know what to do. And, yeah, I never dealt with the battery in a 2020. Started just doing a little bit of research because I was curious. And in the meantime, the insurance company paid off the car. Well, took the car. And that's why our insurance rates are what they are. And somebody will buy that car and probably run fine by the time they get it. They clear the code. I bet it won't be an issue. So, got a text message here. Is it a bad idea to connect the basement sump pump to the septic line? Yes. For any number of
reasons. You're not allowed to do that. Oh, no, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the sewer line. But, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of water.
For the same reason. You're dumping a lot of water into your leach field, and that's not good. They should be separate. Simple answer. That's all you got to do. So, all right. We talked about the, we've covered all the bases. Pete's going to sell a car today.
Well, hot dog.
You going to sell any cars, please?
There's not a lot of rhyme or reason to car sales except for weather. When the weather is inclement, it's usually, this is not wholesale, but it's usually slow. So days like this are usually good. People come in, look around,
okay,
take stuff out for test drives. Although I did, the busiest day I think we ever had was a Saturday, and it was poor, I mean, absolute torrential downpour of rain.
I remember that.
I was soaked to the bone. Just remember there was like four different groups of people here looking at cars. Yeah. I'm running around outside swapping the plates around.
Yeah. Yep. And
that was weird. That was weird. But
should I pray for
a car? You need a car.
Yeah.
No, please don't.
Okay.
It's sunny. We're more likely to have people come in when it's sunny.
Yeah.
Actually, I've got people lined up for this morning. So.
Okay. Well, it's good.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Maybe Monday.
That's
my.
Oh, I got really.
Hey, you know, maybe Monday my fender's going to land. It was supposed to come
fender.
Wednesday. Then it was going to come Thursday. Then Friday, now it's Monday. And I think what I'm going to do is, if it doesn't come on Monday, I'm going to tell them to cancel the order and get it from somebody else. Just
if it's,
because.
If you can't cancel the order if it's in transit.
Well, I could try.
That's a very old man complaining,
well, yeah,
sounding thing to do. I'm going to cancel the order.
By golly.
Cancel, you're going to call. I'm going to call the internet and cancel the order.
Dadgummit. Well, you know, after 3 weeks in transit, somebody needs to be responsible, Pete.
Oh, it's been in transit for 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. That's
is
the
it coming like on a what is it coming freight?
It's coming freight. I don't understand. I mean, it usually comes UPS or FedEx, and it's they shipped it with a trucking company, and you know, God knows what trucking company.
If it's been 3 weeks, then yeah, I'd get mad. Yeah. You got a righteous indignation on that one.
All right, thank you, Pete.
Boy, you're welcome.
I appreciate your standing, backing me up on this. And I appreciate you coming yesterday to help me with those windows. That was, your mother was, she wasn't outraged.
She was getting concerned. The window was out.
No, well, the debris, she was okay when you were there. She started to get a little freaked out about the dust after you left because she hadn't looked close. I had, and I tried to hide out. I tried to.
Well, you could have vacuumed it.
I did actually sweep it up, but it was still, I mean, you know, it was kind of dusty. So the other five windows in that room are not going in till everything else is done. Until we can make a wide path for me to. Make, you know, unfortunately,
I thought it was odd that you were doing windows. I thought you wanted me to help with cabinets.
No, I just felt like doing the windows in the front of the house. Yeah. And because of the one that had the masking tape on it, that looked so so low rent. I said, you know what? And of course, the windows were so disgustingly dirty. So it would be kind of, I'm dying to do the other ones. But, you know, the problem was what the mess really wasn't huge other than it was chipped paint from taking the stops that hold the old window in. And that was the biggest part of the mess. I mean, doing the window itself was nothing. And as it turned out, the sashway cavities already had cellulose in them. So I didn't even have to do much with those. It was having an extra set of hands made all the difference. We had one window that just was being a little bit of a pain.
It was a hair, but it was a stubborn hair. It wouldn't go in.
Yeah, and I didn't cut anything. I just brought the sander out and sanded an edge a little bit, and got it to go right in. So, somebody's messaging. Did you just ring the bell?
I did.
Okay. Pete's got a bell. Do it again so they hear it. Yeah. Yeah, we're really.
I always wanted, when I was a kid, I was fascinated by those.
At some point.
And I never got to ring them.
Yeah, at some point it's going to disappear, but it's okay for now.
That's my bell.
Okay.
You got to pay me if you get rid of it.
Okay. We got a message
here. It was
$80. Yeah, I bet. My solar panels are not working. Arc fault code. Company who installed 3 years ago went out of business. Who might come fix this? Everyone wants to sell new systems, but won't fix mine. I think I'm going to message you my electrician's phone number. He may be interested in doing it. He does solar systems, he's sort of semi-retired. I think he subs for some of the solar companies, and he's very good, and it might be worth a phone call. So I will text you his phone number, and hopefully he won't be upset with me giving out his number. I won't do it on the air, though. That might be able to help you out. Because, when a system like this gets orphaned, so to speak, it's repairable. The panels don't fail. Usually that's never an issue. It's the electronics. Electronics is pretty easy to deal with. But you're right. Most solar companies don't want to do service. They just want to sell new stuff. And I can appreciate that, I guess. Although I'd probably be out there in the basement doing it if I put it in. But fortunately, I don't do that. So those days are gone. So Pete, how many we got a Corolla out? Well, actually, you got people coming in to look at most of the darn cars we got today. So I don't even know if we should talk about them.
Well, they haven't bought them yet. So I've got a 2015 Corolla with like 139k. They're all on our website, which is just www.prius.store. But I got a 2015 Corolla. I got a 2017 Prius Prime I was talking about. I got a 2017 Prius C with 141k. I drove that the other day. That's a great car. We've got a RAV4 hybrid that we just put out. People are always asking for those. I've got a regular RAV4, just straight gas. And then I've also got a 2014 Prius, just regular, with like 97,000 miles on it, something ridiculous. Grandma's car, I guess.
With an extra set of tires.
It's got an extra set of tires, too. Yeah. What happened is, so it's got snow tires on it, not studded, so it's okay. You could drive around. And then it's got a set of regular tires on the regular alloy rims, and I put one of them in the back of the car so we don't forget about it when it sells. Because in perpetuity, I do that. I'll sell a car coming to you, so I'll sell it and forget all about them. And then we're drowning in friggin' tires, you know?
Yeah. All right, well, Pete, we're out of time. That was a good way to end the show.
Dog.
Talking about cars.
I think so.
All right. Pete, thank you. I'll see you in a while. Okay, take care. All right. Have a great week, everybody. Springtime is kind of going to be here still, I guess. It's going to be another damp one, but I'll accept it. It is warm enough that it's okay. Take care.
Practicality, D doesn't interest me. Love the life that I lead. I've got a pocket full of miracles. And with a pocket full of miracles, one little miracle a day is all.
T rubbles more or less be all the me, I guess, when the sun doesn't shine. But there's that pocket full of miracles, and with a pocket full of miracles, the world's a bright and shiny apple that's mine, all mine.